I hope you caught that line as we were singing, death could not hold you, the veil tore before you, you silenced the boast of sin and grave. Man, what a great thought. Christ silenced the boast of sin and grave through the resurrection. Oh my goodness, what a wonderful name, what a beautiful name, the name of Jesus. And my friend, that is our witness. We are Christ's witness. We proclaim Jesus, 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 the hope of the world, the hope of every person to return to God through faith in Jesus Christ. I hope today's message helps you and encourages you and convicts you. You are Christ's witness. Everyone who's a Christian that is seated in this section of the balcony, you are Christ's witness. Every Christian that is seated in this center section of the balcony, you are a witness for Jesus Christ. Everyone over here on this, if you're a Christian, you, my friend, are a witness for Christ. If you're seated in this lower section on this organ side and you're a Christian, you are a witness for Christ. If you're in this center section, and by the way, every section here is more full than you were last week. You must have invited someone to come and join you this week. You are a witness for Christ. Dear Christian over here, look at me for a second. Look at me just for a second. You can answer the text later. You are a witness for Christ. And I'm going to allow you to hear a testimony of someone who is a witness for Christ. Friend, there are a million opportunities the body of Christ has each day to witness for Christ. He is the Savior. He is the Lord of all. And you must come to Christ by faith to be reconciled to God, your Creator, for your sin to be forgiven, for you to experience life eternal. My friend, you have this opportunity, and there's a million ways to do it. And I want you to welcome our friend, Gadsden Walker. Gadsden, come on up here. Would you welcome Gadsden Walker as he tells his story? Go get him.
Do I need to unmute this thing? It's
already done, son. You are live and on fire.
Yeah. Thank y'all for letting me have a couple minutes to talk. But when me and Brother Greg were talking Wednesday about some of the things that God's been doing in my life, it was pretty nerve-wracking to think that I was going to get up here and do that. But I thought to myself, it's not really a sales pitch for Pine Cove or some big interview, but it really is a church family that I can just share what God's been doing in my life, kind of like the people did last week. So what I want to just talk about is Pine Cove and some of the cool moments in my life that have impacted my life. And so, just some of the summers that have gone by. So that's me in the cow suit on the ground, the cow costume. We do anything at Pine Cove to get the gospel across. And there's another picture, water slides, rock wall in the back, trampolines, all these different activities at Pine Cove that we use to share the gospel and just interweave the gospel into everything that we do there. And it has impacted my life. And the core values of Pine Cove are we're Christ-centered, others-focused, and seriously fun. And the mission there is to inspire campers to walk intimately with Jesus and to equip college students to change the world. And so, my first summer at Pine Cove was in 2022 at the Pine Cove Ranch in Texas. So there's camps in Texas, East Texas, Central Texas, and in the Southeast, which is in Georgia. And it is on the Georgia-South Carolina line. And so you have stay-away camps, family camps and then Camp in the City. And Camp in the City is where you'll travel to a different church every week that Pine Cove partners with. And so I worked at, in Texas my first summer, and that was at a stay-away camp, and it was for half a summer. But we also have a memory verse every week that we have campers, which are the kids, memorize, and we memorize. And the one for this summer was Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. And it was really funny that that was this verse for this summer, because in 2022, there's another good picture. I'm on somebody's shoulders in that one. But the one I want to talk about right now was the beach trip in 2022, literally the week before my first summer. And a really, really special moment that I got to sit in to on that trip was with Dr. Bill Soames. One night we were just hanging out, and on that trip, I got to sit in and just listen and just smile the whole time to Dr. Bill Soames sharing the gospel plainly to Luke Simmons. And he got saved that night. And it gave me a fire in my stomach when I didn't even say anything in that moment, but it gave me a fire in my stomach and a purpose that God prepared me to do good works the same way at Pine Cove. And so that was a really cool moment that I wanted to share. And so that's what happened at the Pine Cove Ranch my first summer, a couple weeks after that. I got to go into there, and my first week there was definitely payback for when I was a middle schooler and had D-nails at this church, and summer camps. I mean, the Pinleys. I'm not going to name off everybody, but I kept up a lot of people too, and that was payback, trying to put middle schoolers to sleep and all of that. And so, but despite my immaturity, my setbacks, and my mistakes in the past, God still used me. And that's my friend Gordon right there, who didn't talk much. He was quiet, and I just got to sit there and share the same gospel that Dr. Bill Soames shared with Luke to my friend Gordon. And boy, did that fire get even more lit up. And so that was my first summer at the Pine Cove Ranch. And going into these past two summers, which was last summer and then this past summer, I did Pine Cove City, which is where you travel throughout different churches every week. Our team went to Georgia, Alabama, and Tennessee to a different church every week. And what's cool about that is we stay in host homes, kind of like D-Now host homes and the host homes that I made a bunch of racket in when I was there. But we got to stay with them. And that was really life-changing because of the people I met, the relationships that I built, and the gospel being shared in a way that I've just like never seen or been able to be experienced of, with just energy. And friends that I met at Pine Cove, things we would say was like 6 hours and 6 minutes. Like, if Jesus can hang on the cross for 6 hours, we can have all this energy and go hard in these moments for 6 minutes, or fly on the plane like they teach a pilot. When everything's going crazy, when the light's going off, you don't know what's happened, just fly the plane. And at Pine Cove City, you go hard from 7 to 4, like really hard. And when you're in those moments and you're not relying on anything but the Lord, we just say fly the plane, like just reflect Christ, just share the gospel. And just all those cool ways we encourage each other and fire each other up for the gospel. That fire that the Lord just kept feeding since that summer, that I just was able to see the gospel laid out so plainly and how it was changing my life despite my mistakes. And I was able to do it also. So this was Pine Cove City the past two summers. It was a blast. The Lord grew me. He gave me a passion and a purpose from all those past moments, from all the forgiveness. I was willing to give up my reputation, deny myself, and God was just faithful in so many areas. Another thing special about Pine Cove is we do these things called SPAPs. You've probably never heard that word before, but it stands for spiritual applications. And with Pine Cove City, it's only first through sixth graders. All the other camps, it can kind of be different ages, like middle school was at the ranch. And so, for example, on the rock wall, kind of that was on that other picture, say a second grader climbs the rock wall, you're done with that. We pray before and after an activity, and you sit there and you look at your camera and say, how can we relate this to our relationship with Jesus? And you know, a sixth grader would be like, oh, well, I can climb my way to heaven, the harder we climb, the more Jesus will love us, or something like that. And you can just like look at them and speak truth into them, an identity that you've been given, to say like, no, the Bible says that salvation in the Lord is a free gift from God. We don't earn our way to heaven. Like Jesus came down for us. We don't have to go up to him. Just all those little ways that you can speak truth into young campers, and also learn more about the gospel and how you can share it. And so because of that, we have hang times too, that, you know, you have one-on-one times with kids, and that's at every camp. And that's when you can go into, get to know them more, and go into those deeper conversations to see where they're at with the Lord. And I was able to sit in the first summer I was a counselor, and that's where me and Gordon were talking. But this past summer I was a senior counselor, so I didn't have a group of kids. I was more into, you know, managing the other counselors. But there's this one guy, and let's see if it's in this picture. Yeah, that was one of the counselors, Adam, and they were having a conversation about one of the SPAPs and what was going on. That was their hang time. And he called me over because he was like, hey, Connor's struggling with this. He's seeing this in his life. And we were able to talk through him, and he saw his sin, his need for Jesus, and he gave his life to the Lord. And as we say at Pine Cove, like another just thing we say is like, he put his yes on the table for his life. Like we put our yes on the table every day for the Lord. Like Brother Greg was saying, everybody in here that is a Christian has a purpose. Like, are we going to put our yes on the table every morning we wake up? But that's what Connor did. And I'm telling you, I celebrated. I was screaming and yelling and sore smiling. That's a camp name. We're not going to talk about that. But I mean, it was just such an exciting moment that over the past 3 or 4 years, through all my mistakes, God's still using me in whatever way that is. And Pine Cove's just been a big part of that. And another big reason Pine Cove has is through Pine Cove, I met my best friend, Bennett. And that's Bennett right there, praying with the Wendy's worker in Georgia. We were there for 2 weeks, and he met this guy ordering a Baconator. And he was like, you know, when do you work? Because we were there for 2 weeks. He said, when do you work? He told him his shifts. Bennett went there 5 days in a row just to pour into him before we left. I've been praying for a friend that's that faithful to the Lord for a long time, and that I could just connect so close with. And so because of him, after last summer, this past year, I lived in Charlotte, North Carolina, and interned with those guys at Venture Church in North Carolina. And man, you know, community is awesome, and we can talk about other believers, but God has just mended my heart in a lot of ways just from living with those guys and being able to serve with them. But another special moment and trip that has to do with missions is we went to Acuna, Mexico. And I'm going to try to say this word, but it was with the organization Casa Por Cristo. And they built houses for people in their community in Mexico. So I was able to go with them, all the interns. And it was a lot of fun, super hot. Got to eat real Mexican food, which was really good. But anyway, we built pretty much like a shed house for them. But that, I mean, that was so much for them. But there was a family of 12 Russians. They're not Russians, but a family of 12 that moved from Russia to our church a couple weeks before. And they speak English and Russian. It's really weird. But they just got into our church, and we got to know him really well. But there was this one guy, his name was Eugene, and that's another picture of what we built kind of on the way through. But one of the brothers, Eugene was his name, and he was on my build, and me and him got to be pretty tight, and we were working. He was an awesome help, because a lot of his sisters were there, and they weren't doing anything. So we were just, me and him were just going at it with the other guys there. So we got to be tight, and we were eating some of this random Mexican food on the tailgate. at lunch in the middle of like 105 degree weather, and our conversation just turned into what God's been doing to bring me to Venture, what God's been doing at Pine Cove, and what God's doing in his life. And he got saved on that tailgate with me and him just talking. And oh my gosh, like just those moments that have impacted my life and just how God would still continue to use somebody like me. He would continue to forgive me, use me and my church family here that has supported me through all the craziness, all the mistakes. Because of those things and because of Jesus and our commitment to him and his commitment to us, things like this can happen for any of us. And these were just outlets like Pine Cove, handful of just mentors in this church for me, how God has just brought me friends like the ones at the internship. These are just outlets that I got to share today that have just been life-changing moments in ways God that has impacted my life. So thank y'all for supporting me the past 23 years of my life. That's all. You like that?
That was awesome.
Off.
God is faithful. Thank you. I thought you'd like to hear the rest of that story. Well, and it's just part of his story. So you continue to pray for Gadsden. You're heading back to North Carolina?
Yep, heading back there for some of his buddies, so you pray for poor Gadsden.
And thank you, church, for investing in children's and student ministry. A lot of times you plant the seed, or you may water what parents have planted, and you add to that, God gets the harvest. And so we'll pray for Gadsden and his next step. But you and I are witnesses for Christ. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, therefore, now this is after the resurrection, 40 days have passed, Jesus is to ascend into heaven, and he's given a commission to his disciples, his apostles. And he's saying, now I'm about to ascend. And they said, whoa, before you leave, you got to answer one of these theological questions we've been debating. When they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. But you, right now, you shall receive a power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That's what you're supposed to be doing. And so the first lesson we learn in this simple encounter of the ascending Lord commissioning his apostles to go make disciples of all nations, our principles without practice are distractions. You got to have principles, but they are meaningless if you never put them into practice. They're just talk. The world is tired of Christian talk. They want to see Christian walk. And while these guys were debating a minor point of theology and times, Jesus is trying to convince them and to understand, guys, you're about to be empowered to change the world, and you're still debating an age-old issue that is not for you to know. Get to work. Get to work. The fields are ripened to harvest. Pray that workers will be sent out. And where are fields? Friend, First Baptist Brookhaven, you and I have fields. If we were to take concentric circles, an outer circle, and then another inner circle, and another inner circle, and these circles rose up higher and higher to God, we would put the outermost and the lowest most circle as our fields. These people don't know Christ. First Baptist Church, we have a field. And there are people in these fields What are the fields of First Baptist? What's our Jerusalem? Brookhaven. All of Brookhaven. All six wards. That's our field. That's our Jerusalem. But not only that, what's our Judea and our Samaria? All of southwest Mississippi. Lincoln County and the surrounding counties. We have members of our church come every Sunday from all five counties. They come here. Our fields, we're reaching out to people who don't know Christ, just in Lincoln County. That's not talking about all the other four surrounding counties, just in our county. 20,000 people have no evidence that they have a relationship with Christ. They don't make any initiation to be even a part of the body of Christ, even to go meet with the body of Christ. How can they claim they are part and are a member of the body of Christ if you don't even show up? There's no evidence. 20,000 right in this own county here of 34,000 people. That's why Go Tell America is coming to our area. There could be potential 60, 70, 75,000 people here that if they were to die today, and people die every day, there'd be no hope for them in all of eternity. We have uncomfortable fields. The Jerusalems are people like you. They're your family and friends. The Judea, they talk similar culture, but you may not know them. But you have so much in common. You speak the same language. You have the same customs. You understand the same cultural calendar. You relate easily to those people. But then there are people called the Samaritans. You live in the same area, but you see the world differently. They may look different than you are. They may have different customs than you have. And it's uncomfortable. But you and I are called to witness to them, to see them the way Jesus sees them, because, my friend, their blood is just as red as your blood. They need Jesus as much as you need Jesus. And what you'll find most of the time is you probably introduce yourself to another brother and sister you didn't even know you had. That happened to me this day. I encountered, you know, I've got a chair over here. Gatson sat in that chair. But I've been praying every week. Now, Lord, help me invite somebody to come to church. Now, if it's a whole family, you can sit wherever you want to. But if it's just an individual, you come sit with me for Sunday. And then I'll introduce you to people. You can go sit with some friends and meet some new people. But that first Sunday, I said, Lord, have me. I want to invite somebody to come sit with me that doesn't come to First Baptist. So the Lord invited me to engage in conversation with a fella. Well, he's a Christian. I didn't know it at the time. I called him Mr. Johnny. We were at the parking lot of a local business, and our cars were parked side by side, and he was sending off his crew. He's a roofer, been a roofer for 53 years. And some of y'all would know Mr. Johnny. He may have put a roof on your house. And he goes to a sister church just right down the street, and we talked about his pastor. I know his pastor is a friend of mine. And he's a faithful member of his church, and I'm all for that. I'll go find another one. But I do that just to introduce and to see where God might lead a gospel conversation. It's so simple, just to talk to people. Where are you from? What do you do? I've lived here. So how long have you lived here? Hey, what's your relationship with Christ? I'm a Christian. How about you? You can ask a million different questions in a million different places. Sometimes the Lord may say, you know, you may not. Now, this person would not have anything hardly on the surface common. He was a different race than I was. You could tell he was dressed up that day to get on a roof. I was not planning to get on a roof in August. So we had a lot of things in different. But the thing we had in common was Jesus, the greatest thing ever. So I met Mr. Johnny, my brother in Christ. My friend, there are unreached fields out there, and you and I are called to reach them right here in Lincoln County in southwest Mississippi. Regardless of your theology, you are to be a witness of the gospel. It doesn't matter what your theology is about how people are saved. Is there a will? Is there will free? Where we have all kind of discussions in the last 25 years about the soteriology of the greater general theology of Christianity. And right now it's our thing. Everybody wants to talk about it. We've talked it to death. Now for 500 years we talk about it. You know what Jesus said? Why don't you just do your job? I'll do my job. I save them, you witness. How about that? Wouldn't that be something? He said, Pastor, I've only been a Christian. You know how long these apostles had seen post-resurrection? Post-resurrection. You can't witness to something you hadn't experienced. They're going to witness of the resurrection. The crucifixion and resurrection, that's the gospel. That's the hope of the gospel. That's the centrality of the gospel. How long did they have to understand the resurrection? 40 days. Get after it. Anybody here been a Christian less than 40 days? Okay, you got an excuse. You might need to think a little bit more. The rest of us live with no excuse. You had 40 days, go tell people what happened to you. Go tell them Jesus is alive. You and I are called not to get stuck on when are the times of Israel. And by the way, I'll be teaching on Israel on Wednesdays, on Wednesday 11 o'clock and Wednesday at 5:45. We're going to be talking about Israel, the land. What is their role today? Do they have a separate salvation? All those issues that people talk about Israel, we'll talk about from a biblical perspective. Does God still have a plan for Israel? The Israel of today, is it the Israel of the Bible? All of those things we'll talk about for a few weeks, not long, but for a few weeks on Wednesday. But can I tell you something? If you and I are not witnessing of the gospel, and we spend more time talking about minor questions, which are important, even minor questions are important, but it's not more important than the Great Commission. Yes, we must study our Bible, but for what purpose? To tell the world. So not only do we have fields we're called to go to, we have friends at First Baptist. We have a level, if we were to go in one and go a little bit higher, a little closer in relationship, we have friends. These are parents. Some of you are here today. Grandparents, your relative, your baby got baptized. Your grandson gave his testimony. And you're a member of another church, but you're here today, and guess what? We call you friend. You're a fellow Christian, and you're always welcome at First Baptist. We look forward to having you here. At Christmas time, we have a lot of our friends at First Baptist that come. Some are people who were raised here. Now they're active members in their churches, and they're friends of First Baptist Church. And we thank God for them. Our guest speakers that come often, they're friends of First Baptist. They love you. Brother Ken Smith prays for First Baptist Brookhaven. He's been here a number of times. He's a friend of First Baptist. But you and I are called to witness, and Jesus saves. If there's a third category of relationship, and some of you, many of you are in this relationship today, your past fields, you've come to faith in Christ. You're a friend of First Baptist Church. But you're more than that. You call First Baptist your family. You're a family of First Baptist. This is where you worship. And you attend here. You support the church. You give your tithes and offerings here. You help other fellowship of the members at that level. You help them teach a Sunday school class or help in vacation Bible school. You're not in the fellowship of members. You've not made that decision for whatever reason, and there's a number of reasons. Sometimes it's you've come from another denomination, and mom and dad and grandparents for seven generations have been a part of that, and this is your church family, and you're a part of our family. I'm your pastor. I'm in that pastoral league, and Pastor Chris is your kid's student pastor, and Miss Lisa is your children's ministry director, and Pastor Nick is your worship leader, and you're involved in that. And for whatever reason, your membership may be somewhere else, but First Baptist is your home. And we respect that. And when you help us, you're respectful of our beliefs at First Baptist. We all have different opinions about the times of Israel. But the core beliefs, we are right in there together. And thank you, dear family. I don't know what anybody's level of giving is. I don't know a dime of what anybody gives. That's always been my privilege and always been my position. There is someone who knows that because that's their job to know and to account for all of that stuff. And you and I, it wouldn't be strange to know we have a lot of people who call themselves the family level, and they're more faithful in their attendance and support than the people who claim to be part of the fellowship of members. And let me tell you something. You are part of this family, and we appreciate that, and we know. We ask people to pray about taking this next level, and that is to come to the fellowship of members, where First Baptist is a church where you use your gifts and talents, not only in assisting others, thank God for that, but we also would love to partner with you in using your gifts in leadership. We need leaders. And you say, well, I may not teach. Yeah, but you've got great organizational skills. God may have given you service gifts. And some of you have been given speaking gifts. And you say, I'm wanting to come. You say, well, I want to help make disciples of all nations at First Baptist, and I want to go to that next inner core level and be a part of the fellowship of members. Not, you're way past friends. You're saved. You're more than just a, you're not in the fields. You're more than just in the friends. You're in the family. But for whatever reason, you've not made that step of like faith and like baptism. Like faith, our faith, some of you who are in our family, there's some theological issue. You respect our beliefs, but you do have a difference of Christian belief. And we respect the fact that you love us enough to be a part of our church family and respect our belief. But some of you, it may be a baptism thing. And it's like, well, I've had to work through what it means for biblical obedience to the command to be baptized as a believer. And you're working through that. I was baptized as a Presbyterian child. I thank God for that. You've heard my testimony of that. I was raised my early years in a Presbyterian church. And that community of faith, and even though they see that as a more of a commissioning of your faith that will come, they commit themselves to you. And I understood what that meant, and I thank God for it. But also thank God for the opportunity when I was given to profess my faith through baptism as a believer. And that is our belief at First Baptist Brookhaven. It is not a salvation issue. It is not a salvation issue for us. It is an identification with the body here at First Baptist Brookhaven through our identity with our faith in Christ. Now what happened? Yes, it's the same thing that our family members of First Baptist do. They attend, they support, they assist. But they also lead and they have responsibilities that maybe someone in the family is unwilling to take. You assist. Thank God for all of our family members that help in extended session. I thank God you've got preschoolers and you're part of this church and you're helping and assisting in that. Thank you, thank you. Some of you help in Sunday school, VBS. Some of you are helping in our children's choir, our student ministry. Thank you for that. But we would love for you to take that next level and say, I want to be a part of the fellowship of members of First Baptist Church. With that comes privileges as well that you are given as because of the level of commitment that you take. Friends, all of us are called to be witnesses today. All of us are called to make disciples. Every one of us are to tell people, what did Jesus do for you? How were you saved? How did you come to faith in Christ? What's God doing in your life right now? All of us. All of us can invite somebody to our rock solid. All of us can invite somebody to our small group. All of us can invite somebody to worship and come sit with me at First Baptist Church on worship if you don't have a church home. All of us can invite people to the Go Tell Crusade, every one of us. You can be trained and be a part. Tuesday, we will have a volunteer session, one of two or three volunteer sessions. I would love for you to scan and choose, go online. There's a number of different ways you can do that. You have it there, and you can go online to Southwest Mississippi, Go Tell Crusade, look that up or scan right there, and you pick one, two, or three different committees to be on. Use your talents. First Baptist Brookhaven, as large a church as we are, even just in this congregation today, I would love for us to have at least 100 volunteers. Already people have said, I'm going to do the hospitality table. I've got people saying, I'm going to be a part of the security team. I've got people saying, I'll be part of the knockdown and set up crew to make it happen. We need hundreds of people saying, I'll be willing to be trained, to be a decision person that helps people make their decision. And what is it God's doing in your life? We'll have an entire training right here at First Baptist in September on that, on a Saturday morning. You can get an introduction Tuesday night at Lincoln Baptist Association. But get involved. Say, I'm going to find a place to serve and get involved. I'm going to tell you there's a great, great testimony you heard today from Gadsden. Gadsden was a go-getter in his youth days here, baby. He was a go-getter. I'm telling you, we prayed for Gadsden. I saw all that energy. I used to call him Spider-Man. He could jump and climb, and you didn't know if he was on a roof one day or what. Where was he? Where is Gadsden? Just an athlete. And I'm telling you, son, God has his hand on you. I knew it when you were a youth. Nobody could have that much energy and not have God have a great purpose for his life. The old devil wanted you, but he lost again. And Jesus won. And you're giving God glory today. And this church is proud of you. We thank God for you and your family. And I told him Wednesday night, he was at prayer meeting Wednesday night. Not a lot of people at prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Okay, you can tell God's got to work in his life, he goes to prayer meeting. Gadsden was there, and I told him Wednesday night, you're going to give your testimony. That's when he got his notice. I ought to be able to do that if any of y'all out there. A pastor ought to be able to go to any member who's a Christian and say, Sunday, give me 10 minutes. Now, I'm not going to do that. I don't want an empty sanctuary here next week. But I've known Gadsden, and I've known what God's been up to. I knew his story, and I knew he could do it. But he didn't know he was doing this till Wednesday. That tells you a lot about a young man, Coach. Tells you a lot about a young man. Friend, all of us are called to be a witness. Find a place. Find a person. Pray. Share. Tell them the good news of Jesus. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as our instrumentalists come, perhaps someone here today needs to just take their stand for Christ. They have come. They know they, like all of us, are sinners. They know that they can't save themselves and that Jesus is the way. And today they're going to take their stand for Christ. They've admitted they're a sinner. They've placed their faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and they're willing to follow him in obedience, to be baptized as a believer and confess that he is Lord and Savior of their life. And they're going to take their stand. Christ said, whoever confesses me before men, him, her, them, I will confess before my Father in heaven. Is today your day? Perhaps you need to move from family to fellowship of members. And you know God's calling you. And you know the decision you need to make. Maybe it's a transfer of a letter from another church of like faith and like baptism, or you need to take that step and are willing to say, yes, I want to be a part of the like baptism. I have the like faith, but I want to experience that too as a testimony of my faith that I've had for many, many years. And maybe God is calling you to do that. Or maybe today there's just somebody been on your heart, some young person that sat by themselves this first week of school and nobody went out to them, and God told you to reach out to them. For whatever reason, come Monday, you're going to reach out to that student. Just introduce yourself. Invite them to come and be a part of your group and show interest in them and what's going on in their life and what they're interested in. And let God open a door to a gospel conversation in His time. But start out with just being a friend. Maybe there's someone in your neighborhood. Y'all have been neighbors forever. You've never had a conversation with that person. They live right down the road. Could God be putting that name on your heart today to just start a relationship that the gospel may be shared? Father, have your way. This is your invitation. You lead. We'll respond in Christ's name. Amen. Would you please stand? Let's sing.